for a sermon subject, a short title for some short words, Pastor. The Promised Messiah. The Promised Messiah. The last words I got from the pastor was, Billy, pace yourself. I don't know why he would say that. But we have no trouble with pace. Yeah. There you go. Brother, you my brother this morning. The Promised Messiah. I want you all to remember, the Bible does not put titles in a passage for no reason at all. No reason at all. There was a reason why the scripture says Caesar Augustus. It wasn't just to sound pretty. It was really a illustration in advance of two opposing forces. Caesar Augustus. Caesar is just like saying King Willie. And Augustus is just like saying King Willie the Exalted. Interesting. Whenever you see a title, don't just blow by it. Find out what's going on, because it probably points directly to the text somewhere. And it'll open it up for you. In the name of Jesus. That was a quick Bible study tip. I ain't that good at that. That's just... These are three points. Point number one, God uses Caesar in his plan. Point number two, the birth of the Messiah. Point three, the announcement of the Messiah and a sign given. Now, God uses the leader of the most powerful nation at that time to first call for a registration for all the citizens in the whole Roman Empire, having them to register at their place of birth. Why I emphasize that about Caesar Augustus. Now, that means, well, his name was Claudius Octavius. But they call him King Exalted. Now, this King Exalted, I want to tell you this because I want you all to get this, because you in situations now where there are people over you and situations over you that you think are insurmountable. But I'm here to remind you today that the God you serve is over everything and everybody. Caesar Augustus, King Exalted, is now subservient to the King of all. Listen, he don't just call this registration by chance. He calls this because the living God has moved by the Spirit of God to make him call. He calls this registration for a particular purpose because God has made a promise already. Are you listening to me? He will move heaven and earth to bring that promise to pass. He makes this King Anointed call for a registration in the most powerful nation on earth because he has a promise to fulfill. So this should kind of lift you up today. No matter what your situation look like, God is over your situation. He is a situation fixer. See, listen now. If I can't stop having sex with somebody, he's over my situation. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Those phones ringing and it says, you remember when you got power now to say, no, I won't. Because if he can do this, he can get me straight. Hey, Jesus. Woo! Hey, Jesus. Okay, I'm sorry. Go to Proverbs 21:1. No. Before that, let's go to Genesis 3:15. I had to pump the brakes real quick there. Genesis 3:15. Ooh, I feel like running. Man. Right. Woo, Jesus. Genesis 3:15. Listen, the darkest hour, some of the context where you are, which of course all of you already know that. Man has fallen. He was told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He had everything else in the garden to eat. There's only one prohibition: don't eat of the tree. And of course, he eats of the tree. Immediately, he falls out of alignment with God because he now sees that he's naked. Well, my clothes, you didn't need none before. But as soon as he falls out of alignment with God, he sees his nakedness. A dire situation, perfect garden, perfect everything. And then he disobeys God. Eats of the tree with his wife, their eyes are open. This is a dark situation because my perfect situation now has turned into an area where there's fear involved now. God walks in the cool of the day to speak to his people that he's been fellowshipping with already, and now they're afraid. Y'all hear me? Now they're afraid. So into this dark situation, he injects Genesis 3:15. Have somebody read that for me. Sister Carol, you were looking right at me. I had to get you. Come on. Genesis 3:15.
I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring.
Wait, wait. You all notice that. Offspring here is singular. That's pointing toward a singular offspring. Go, sister.
He shall bruise your head.
What does that mean, Billy? That means if this seed's going to bruise the head of the one that's coming, isn't that a fatal blow? If I hit you in the head, sister, well, I wouldn't literally hit her, in the head seriously enough with a blunt object, I'd probably kill her. The scripture is illustrating to us the power of this singular offspring that's coming and what he has the ability to do to what's going to happen after that. Go ahead, sister.
And you shall bruise his heel.
Well, y'all probably already know that. Thanks, sister. If you get bit by something, Sister Venice, I hope it's down in the lower extremity. Because if you get in the bit in the lower extremity, you got time to get some help. Listen, this singular offspring has great power over this other singular offspring, so much so that he can kill him, but he's going to get bitten at the heel. Not a fatal blow. So this, if you really look at it and check it out, this is a promise made by God in a dire situation. The one that I'm going to send is going to take care of every single problem. So Sotelo say, I'm going to take you down. He going to take you down. Yes, he will. Now, balance that with what's going on here. He promised way back there in Genesis, which was a saying of the gospel. And then the gospel was presented. And now the gospel is being brought to pass. No matter what it takes to bring that promise in Genesis 3:15 to pass, he can do it. So your situations, I'm telling you today, they are minuscule compared to what God can do. Now let's read Proverbs 21:1. Proverbs 21:1. Sister Taylor, can you read that for me? Proverbs 21:1. Brother Dan, I ain't off the first point yet, man. I got to get rolling. Proverbs 21:1.
Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord.
Who? It's kind of hard to divert streams of water once they've been running there for a period of time. But this stream right here is seems like it's insurmountable. How in the world can you direct somebody like this? Number one, he's not a believer. So how in the world are you going to direct him? Go ahead, sister.
He turns it wherever he will.
He is God. And he has the power to do what he wants to do. Let me see. Now, let's go a little further here. Brother Dan, I got that. Did you check that out? Amen. The Bible says Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. Whenever it gives you names, look up and see what the name means. Born in Bethlehem. Now, while in Bethlehem, it is time for the birth of the Christ child. Bethlehem itself means house of bread. House of bread. Interestingly enough, isn't Jesus called the living bread? So now the living bread comes from the house of bread. Are you all hungry? Yes, you were. You were hungry and you didn't know why you were hungry. So out of all that stuff that you don't know, God sends you some living bread. And it's by grace, through faith. Yeah. Now God turns the tide, tells this guy, call for a census. They get up, they have to go to the place of their origin. The place of their origin is Bethlehem. They go to Bethlehem. Now listen, not only did he promise it in Genesis 3:15, but he said exactly where the Messiah would be born. Wait a minute now. This is a Genesis 3:15 thing here. I'm way back here at the back. Now, going all the way up here, I'm fast forwarding in time, Pastor. And now I'm 42 generations away from all of this stuff. And all of this stuff is coming to pass. Not only is the time right, but the place is right too. Do you know the odds against that? They are insurmountable. But this God who can do anything can bring that to pass. From the house of bread comes the living bread. Let's go to Micah 5:2. Micah 5:2. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Is everybody there? Who wants to read for me? Come on, bro.
But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah.
Uh-huh.
Too little to be among the clans of Judah.
Wait a minute. Does God consistently do big things with small stuff? So it don't matter what your stage is, your state is, God is able to do the impossible with you.
Amen.
I don't care where you are. I don't care how much money you got. God can do the impossible with you. Hold on, bro. Mm-hmm. Bethlehem was just a whistle stop. A town maybe with one flashing light, if you look at today's standards. The roads are not paved yet. You just got one main road and you got another road that goes off there. That's what it is. And God says, I'm going to do something great out of that little place. I'm going to do something great out of Trinity. Go ahead, brother.
From you, one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity.
Woo! God can do absolutely anything. God had a plan to bring man back into in fellowship with himself. In man's darkest hour, he gives the greatest hope. We've already seen that, Genesis 3:15. But in this tough situation, that is this cup that this couple faced, God brings the brightest light to a dark world. Jerusalem, where they came from to where they have to get to Bethlehem, was roughly about 70 miles. They didn't have a car to get in. They couldn't get in a car, go up the hill, around the bend. They couldn't do that. They had to literally get down there. Now, this young couple, this lady about to have a baby, and they got to make this long journey. Can you imagine how this man felt, number one? I have to take my wife and my family through this situation. And she about to have a baby. And my wife herself is about to deliver, and I got to go all of this way. I'm here to tell y'all, you have to trust God when he tells you to do something. No matter what it looks like, no matter what you think it should be, you have to trust him. And he'll take care of the consequences. As you see, as you will see, light is most prevalent when it's the darkest. And the situation that they lived in was truly the darkest. Rome was in charge. A godless leader was in charge. They are now registering maybe for military service and taxation also. And some stuff is going on. Listen, America is in a mess today. We just discussed that yesterday. It means it's in a mess. But there is, God has what? Ordained all authority. There is no authority unless God has ordained it. This mess could not have happened unless God had allowed Caesar Augustus to be in power. Because he wants to illustrate to us, I don't care what it looks like, my plan cannot be stopped. God had a plan to bring man back in. Did I? Yes, I did. God gives, now this is the announcement of the Messiah and a sign given. God gives the greatest news to the lowest job in Israel, to those who keep the sheep. If you look on the map, this area is in close proximity to Jerusalem. It's more than likely that the sacrificial animals would be ushered from that spot. God sends some angels down with a message to some sheep keepers. This was a lowly job. Now, the hierarchy didn't really think that they were upper echelon people. They looked down on them. But the greatest message in the entire world, the best news in the entire world, came to the people that had the lowest job. The angels tell them of the birth of this Messiah. Listen, from all the way back there, all the way to here, when it's time to give the news out, God tells some shepherds. He gives them a sign. He said, listen, this is a biblical precedent, really. If scripture has not been written already, or if you need to verify something, you give somebody a sign. You say, this is, listen, there is a Savior born. Now, I'm going to give you a sign that if you go, you're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. They go quickly, the Bible says, and they go and find out that this is true. Let's see. Go to Luke 10:21. Luke 10:21. Why are you getting there? There are some things that go around and say Mary was such and such. She was good enough to be accepted, and you know, God had to accept her because she was so good. But if she was born of a man, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And I tell you what, if you think nobody here was worthy of salvation for real, nobody here, you found favor because God chose you. Why did he choose me? That's a deep question on my part, because I don't know why. Because looking at my life, Pastor, he should have passed me by. There was nothing special about Mary. He just chose Mary. There was nothing special about Abraham. He just chose Abraham. There was nothing special about Noah. He just chose Noah. They found favor in the sight of the Lord. This young girl found favor in the sight of the Lord. She's called blessed because the grace of God has chosen her to be the vessel of the Messiah. God has chosen you to bring the gospel to a dying world, to a dark world. He has chosen you. Not because you're so great in numbers or got so much money or look so good, but it's purely because of the grace of God. Luke 10:21. Sister McCullough.
And in that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your grace, your gracious will.
The context is Jesus sent out the 70, right? Sent them out, and they healed the sick and cast out demons. They returned, Pastor. They were rejoicing because everything was subject unto them. Jesus said, you need to be rejoicing, not because of that. You need to be rejoicing because your name is written in heaven. That was done by grace. That's what you need to be glad about. Amen. Everybody get it? Am I clear today? Conclusion. No matter how the world looks, God is in control. God works all things together for our good. It makes no difference our standing in society. Whatever God has promised, he will bring to what? Pass. You all, listen. This is the gospel. He promised a Savior, which is Christ. He moved heaven and earth to bring that to pass. He had him born in Bethlehem. He was not only born in Bethlehem, he was raised. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He was buried, but he rose again. He rose again so that anybody who is not saved can have eternal life if you trust in him. He is God's preferred sacrifice for our sin. God accepts nothing else but his son's life on the cross. You can't be good enough. You can't give enough. This is the good news. It is by grace you have been saved. And that through faith. It is the gift of God. Lest any man should what? Boast. That's the good news. Now, you got the good news. Go tell somebody. Listen. Listen. A doctor would be charged with malpractice if he had a cure and he did not administer the cure. Give the cure. Whew, Jesus, thank you. God promised the Messiah. He brought it to pass. He has made a way for you to be saved. If you don't accept that way, then there's another alternative, hell. He gave his son so that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell. Give your life to Jesus Christ today. I heard a friend of mine say, he said, Billy, listen, I'll give my life, but it'll be at the last moment. Just before I die, I say, Jesus saved me, really. You have no idea what mindset you'll be in when you're about to die. Do it today. As they say, while the blood is still running warm in your veins. Brother Phil, I'm finished. God bless you.